Morning, everyone. As Ed said, Genesis 12 is where we want to be this morning. Hope you've got your Bible app or a Bible open in front to follow along. From verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they'll say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram went to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord afflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had.
Morning, everyone. Don't come too close to your TV. I've taken my mask off. It's lovely to be here, and thanks for joining us and connecting with us. My name's Tristan. We're going to spend some time thinking through what we just read, what Bryson just read for us in Genesis chapter 12. Now, the part of Genesis that we're sort of covering this week as a church is from chapter 12 all the way through to chapter 14. We're just going to spend time thinking and reading through chapter 12 this morning, but you'll get a chance in your small groups this week or in the small group study material to check out chapters 13 and 14 as well. I encourage you to have a look at that. I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being a God who makes and keeps gracious promises. Father, please help us to see how all those promises are yes in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, sometimes the best place to start is at the beginning. And I wonder if you've noticed that a lot of filmmakers have taken that approach in the last couple of decades. Have you noticed that there's a lot of origin story films around at the moment? The kind of films that go back to the beginning, movies that explore how it all began, how some character became what they now are, who we know them to be, or how some group of people went from ordinary to extraordinary. I mean, for example, half of the Marvel films are origin stories. Think about Iron Man or Captain America, the First Avenger. Guardians of the Galaxy is an origin story. But there's also Batman Begins, if you're into the DC universe, or there's Joker, if you're into villains. And look, it's not just comics, and it's not just superheroes, and it's not even a new thing. There's Prometheus, if you're into aliens, or Maleficent, if you're into fairy tales, or Cruella came out this year, if you're into Disney. There's a Superman movie from 1978, if you're as old as my parents. There's an origin story for everyone. If you like a good origin story, you're going to love this bit of Genesis. Because this is the origin story of God's people. And it's fascinating for a couple of reasons. First, in that the rest of the Old Testament traces out the history of God's people as a nation from this moment here in Genesis chapter 12. But even more significantly for us, the New Testament says that if we belong to Jesus, then we're God's people too. So in that sense, this is also our origin story. And this origin story tells us a lot about why we are who we now are. It tells us so much about how we got to here. Well, the story starts with God making some big, big promises. Big promises to a guy named Abram. And what God promises Abram is blessing. So have a look with me, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Now Yahweh said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" It's hard not to notice the bucket loads of blessing. It starts with God promising to make Abram into a great nation, which right off the bat is astonishing. We haven't been told much about Abram up to this point, but the one thing we do know, the end of chapter 11 tells us he's married to Sarai and they can't have children. Now, if we remember how Genesis is just obsessed with trying to find that promised rescuer, the way it keeps on searching through family trees and fathers and sons, well, in that sense, Abram and Sarai are a dead end. And yet, here it is, the first promise, a promise Abram will be a great nation. Next up, God promises to bless Abram. Now, blessing someone simply means doing good for them. Generosity, kindness, protection. The Creator of the world promises to do good things and give good things to Abram. Then God promises to make Abram's name great. Last week we saw what happens when people try to make a name for themselves. Well, here's God making a name for Abram. Next, and I think we're up to number four now, God promises to make Abram a blessing to others. So if you just hang around with Abram, or if you're related to him, God's generosity sort of flows over to you as well. Number five, God promises to bless those who bless Abram. So people who do good for Abram, God will do good for them. Number six, on the other hand, those who do bad things to Abram, God will be against them. And then finally, God promises that all the families of the earth will be blessed through Abram. Eventually, God's generous goodness to Abram will overflow to every human who ever lived in all of history. Astonishing promises. Huge promises. But not surprising promises. Not surprising because God loves doing good things for the people he's made. And in Genesis, we've already seen God create the world for humans. God breathing his life into us, giving humanity everything we need to live and flourish. His mission is for the whole earth to be filled with people who enjoy his generosity. So none of this is new. It's hardly a surprise that these promises are wall-to-wall blessing. This is what God loves to do. It's still what God is like. This is still today how God treats his people. It's how he treats you and me. We inherit these promises. Galatians chapter 3 says to us, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abram's offspring, heirs according to promise. When we belong to Jesus, Galatians says, we are inheritors of all this promised blessing. All this blessing overflows from Abram to his family, to the rest of humanity, to us, when we belong to Jesus. We are God's people. We're God's dearly loved children because of his promises. Our origin story starts with God's goodness. So what do you do when the creator and ruler of the universe promises you good things? What do? You listen. You follow him. You rearrange every detail of your life around those promises, which is what Abram does next. He responds with big faith. Big faith in God and his promises. He gets up and he goes where God tells him to go. Have a look at verse 4. So Abram went as Yahweh had told him. He takes his family, he packs his things, he walks from Ur to Haran, and then from Haran to Canaan, which is a little bit like walking from Brisbane to Bathurst via Canberra. It's a pretty long way, which tells us something about Abram, but tells us, I reckon, more about God. God's promised blessing, it's worth rearranging your whole life around it. Like a few years ago, some friends of mine won a prize. One of those things where they subscribed to a magazine and they went in a draw to win this prize. The prize they won was a $20,000 holiday. Now, at that point, I guess they could have said, look, no thanks. We already took a holiday this year. It's a real hassle to ask the boss for some more time off. They could have said, oh, you know what? Traveling with young kids, young family, it's too hard. No, they didn't say either of those things, obviously. They rearranged a whole chunk of their year. They packed their bags. They went to Venice. They went to Paris. They went to Rome. They went to London. They went to Disneyland. If it's worth them rearranging their whole year around that holiday, how much more is it worth us rearranging our whole lives around God's promises? God has made us part of the body of Christ. He's made us his church. So how much more is it worth us stepping up to spur each other on in living for Jesus during lockdowns? God's washed us clean of sin, given us new hearts. So how much more is it worth us living lives of love and patience and kindness and generosity like Christ has done for us? That's what faith is. It's living our lives in light of the good things God's done for us. But Abram goes on two journeys in this chapter. And if his journey to Canaan shows us that it's worth rearranging our whole lives around God's awesome and generous and loving promises, then Abram's journey to Egypt, well, that journey shows God's determination to bring his blessing even when we fall short. Because what Abram does next is a huge, huge disappointment. When we get to verse 10, Abram decides to leave the place God promised to give him and go somewhere different. Take a look at verse 10. It says, now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to live there, for the famine was severe. God's just told Abram to go to Canaan, not Egypt. He's told Abram that Canaan is the land that he'll give him. That's where he'll bless him with all those extraordinary blessings. And here's Abram going to Egypt, not even trusting God to provide food for him in Canaan. It gets worse though, because check out verse 11. Verse 11 says, when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know you're a woman beautiful in appearance. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they'll kill me, but they'll let you live. So say you're my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. And so Sarai ends up being taken as a wife, or at least some kind of plaything for Pharaoh in Egypt. And Abram gets given a whole bunch of animals and servants. Now look, I almost feel a bit of sympathy for Abram here. And look, married men, maybe you know a little bit of what I mean. Like, I know that I'm punching above my weight when it comes to the woman that I've married. And if I was living in an ancient world with powerful kings who could take whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, yeah, I think I'd be a little bit worried. Having said that, I'd like to think that I wouldn't give up Claire quite that willingly. Look, it's not just what Abram's done to Sarai. It's what he's done to God as well. All that promised blessing, the great nation. Sarai was supposed to be the mother of a great nation that would bring blessing to the whole world. Has Abram just jeopardized all of that? Has he given up on God's promised blessing? Is this yet another case in Genesis of someone thinking God doesn't know what's best and they're better off doing things their own way? Abram should be settling down in Canaan. What's his plan here? He just gives Sarai away and settles down in comfort in Egypt. What an extraordinary disappointment. A moment ago, Abram was doing everything right. Now he's throwing it all away. If you're a sinner struggling to live in obedience to God, you're in pretty good company with Abram. But here's the really wonderful news. Our blunders don't change God's commitment to blessing. God steps in and he gets his plans for blessing back on track. He steps in and he rescues Sarai. And so the chapter finishes with a big rescue. God sends plagues on Pharaoh. It's not going to be the last time that God does that, but I'm not going to spoil the book of Exodus for you. But have a look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, Yahweh afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you've done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. It's all over in a couple of sentences. We don't even find out what the plagues are, but it's a remarkable rescue. Abram, despite all his foolishness, God rescues Abram and Sarai because God is committed and God is determined to bring his blessing to the whole world. And at the risk of ruining the story for you, Abram and Sarai end up having many, many descendants. And one of those descendants is the Son of God himself. The long-searched-for rescuer came and he gave his life in place of ours. Sarai's rescue just lays the groundwork for that far bigger rescue. At the cross, Jesus rescues. He offers salvation. He offers forgiveness and eternal life to everyone everywhere. And so it's through Jesus that all these promises to Abraham come to be. And it's through Jesus that all this promised blessing overflows to us. Through Jesus, God has lavished his blessing on us. In Christ, God's loved us, he's chosen us, he's adopted us, he's rescued and redeemed us, he's forgiven us, he's included us. These are all our blessings through Christ Jesus. In fact, the New Testament in Ephesians says that in Christ we have every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God has done amazing things for us. What God's done for us in Jesus, it's so much better than what Abram was looking for in Egypt. Better than comfort and safety and food and a nice house and a job and a clean car and nice friends. These are better. These are spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. These are eternal blessings. These are the kind of things that we get to enjoy forever. and they're ours in Christ. It's breathtaking. It's heart-stoppingly wonderful. In Christ, those promises of wall-to-wall blessing for Abram are all ours. And so much more. Every good thing God could ever do for us, He has. Because He's given us Jesus. At the center of it all is new life from Jesus. Ephesians goes on in chapter 2 to say that God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. See, just like they were for Abram and Sarai, God's promises are for people at a dead end. When we were dead in our sin, God made us alive in Christ. Our origin story is a story of dead hopelessness giving way to life and blessing. And so finally, Ephesians goes on to say, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is our origin story. We're created by God in Christ Jesus to do good. Blessed by God so as to overflow with blessing to one another, and indeed blessing to the whole world. This is our origin story. Our story starts with a God who makes big promises to bless His people. A God who is determined to make that happen even when we mess up and end up dead in sin. God is determined to bring that blessing even if it costs Him His own Son. So what do? When the Creator and Ruler of the universe blesses you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, what do? Well, you rearrange every detail of your life around Jesus. Whether it's getting up early enough in the morning to make time to read the Bible and pray, whether it's encouraging those in your church while we're in lockdown, whether it's sharing Jesus with your neighbor, whether it's uprooting your life and going to Bible college to train to do more ministry more effectively into the future, we live all for Jesus, knowing that He's already given us everything we need to live for Him. Everything we need to live for His agenda. Everything we need to point each other and the world to Jesus. We have been blessed with everything we need, and so we have confidence in our wonderfully generous God. We live all of life for Jesus, knowing that our sinfulness doesn't stand in the way of His blessing. Because we're forgiven in Christ. We're rescued in Christ. And so now, all that blessing promised thousands of years ago, it's ours now in Christ. Let's thank God for it. Let's pray. Our Father God, You are an incredibly good God. Good in that You love to do good for our good. Father, thank You for that love. Thank You for following through on these promises, even though that meant Your Son Jesus dying in our place. Thank You for Your sacrificial determination to deliver on Your promises, to follow through on Your loving blessing. Please help us appreciate that because we have Jesus, we are blessed beyond measure. Amen.